Phaeton. The Son of the Sun. Erechtheus had Athena as a proxy parent, Gaia as a mother, and Hephaestus as a father. Three immortal parents could be regarded as overdoing it and boasting on the part of the Athenians, but it was not uncommon for mortals to claim one. The story of the brave but foolhardy Phaeton, like that of Persephone, explains how certain changes to the geography of the world came about, as well as offering a very literal example of a favourite finger-wagging lesson of Greek myth, how pride comes before a fall. Phaeton, like Apollo's alternative name Phoebus, means shining one, sometimes rendered as Phaethon, Phaeton, or Phathon. It's usually pronounced to rhyme with Satan or Nathan, though you can, if you prefer, rhyme it with Titan or Python, as Phaeton. Phaeton had divine parentage, but was brought up by his stepfather, Merops, a disappointingly mortal man. Whenever Merops was away, Phaeton's mother, Clymene, who may or may not have been immortal, would delight the boy with stories of his divine father, the glorious sun god, Phoebus Apollo. A daughter of Oceanus and Tethys, the Oceanid Clymene might be regarded as one of the most influential mothers in all Greek myth. From her couplings with the Titan Iapetus, she was on the one side the mother of Atlas and Menoetius, two Titans who furiously opposed the gods over the long course of the Titanomachy and were duly punished, and on the other of Epimetheus and Prometheus. These offspring alone established Clymene's importance as a great matriarch of the early world. Some say that the Oceanid Clymene and the Clymene who was Phaeton's mother were not the same woman at all, and that actually the mother of Atlas and the other Titans should be called Asia, so as not to muddle her with the mortal Clymene, mother of Phaeton. It all gets very confusing and is best left to academics and those with time on their hands. Even the nature of Phaeton's father is debated. In some versions of the story, his father is the Titan of the sun, Helios. I shall go along with Ovid and attribute the fatherhood of Phaeton to the god Apollo. When Phaeton was old enough, he went to school alongside other mortal boys, some of whom were fully human and others of whom, like him, could claim divine ancestry on one side or another. One such was Epaphus, the son of Zeus and Io. With such illustrious parents, Epaphus felt entitled to lord it over his schoolmates. Phaeton, who was a proud and passionate youth, hated being bossed around by Epaphus and was constantly irritated by the other's arrogance and air of superiority. He was always so maddeningly blasé about his pedigree. Epaphus would say things like, "Yes, this weekend, Dad, Zeus, don't you know, is inviting me up to Olympus for supper. He said he might let me sit on his throne, maybe take a sip or two of nectar. Had it before, of course. There'll just be a few of us, Uncle Ares, my half-sister Athena, a few nymphs, perhaps, to round up the numbers. Should be a laugh." Phaeton would come home in a fury after enduring this oh-so-casual name-dropping. "How come," he would complain to his mother, "Epaphus gets to see his father every weekend when I have never even met mine?" Clymene would hug her son tightly and try to explain. "Apollo is so busy, darling. Every day he has to drive his chariot of the sun across the sky, and when that duty is done, he has shrines at Delos and Delphi and goodness knows where else to attend. Prophecies, music, archery. He is quite the busiest of all the gods. But I'm sure he'll come and visit us soon. When you were born, he left this for you. I was going to wait to give it to you when you were a little older, but you might as well have it now." Clymene went to a cupboard and took out an exquisite golden flute, which she handed to him. The boy at once brought it to his mouth and blew, producing a breathy and far from musical hiss. "What is it supposed to do?"
"Do? What do you mean, darling?"
"Zeus gave Epaphus a magic leather whip, which makes dogs obey his every command. What does this do?"
"It's a flute, my love. It makes music. Beautiful, charming music."
"How?"
"Well, you learn how to shape the notes, and then you... well, you play it."
"Where's the magic in that?"
"Have you never heard flute music? It's the most magical sound there is. It does take rather a lot of practice, though."
Phaeton threw the instrument down in disgust and stormed off to his bedroom, where he sulked for the rest of the day and night. A week or so later, on the last day of term before the long summer holidays, he found himself being approached by the exasperatingly condescending Epaphus. "Hi there, Phaeton," he drawled. "Wondered if you wanted to join me at the family villa on the North African coast next week. Small enough house party, just Dad, maybe Hermes, Demeter, and a few fauns. We sail tomorrow. Could be a laugh. What do you say?"
"Oh, what a shame," cried Phaeton. "My father, Phoebus Apollo, you know, has invited me to drive the sun chariot across the sky next week. Can't let him down."
"Excuse me?"
"Yes, didn't I mention it? He's always going on at me to help take the load off his shoulders, do a bit of the old sun driving for him."
"You're seriously telling me? Bullshit. Guys, you got to come and listen to this." Epaphus called the other boys over to where he and Phaeton stood facing each other. "Tell them," he demanded. Phaeton was caught in the lie now. Pride, fury, and frustration drove him on. He was damned if he was going to back down and let this insufferable snob win the day.
"It's really nothing," he said, "just that my dad, Apollo, is insisting I learn to drive the horses of the sun. No big deal."
The other boys, led by a sneering Epaphus, hooted their disbelief and derision.
"We all know your father is that boring old fool Merops," one of them shouted.
"He's just my stepfather," cried Phaeton.
"Apollo is my real father. He is. You'll see. Just you wait and see. It'll take me a while to get to his palace, but one day soon, look up at the sky. I'll wave down at you. That'll be me driving the day along. You'll see."
And off he ran home. Jeers, catcalls, and the mocking laughter of his schoolfellows ringing in his ears. One of the boys, his friend and lover, Cygnus, chased after him.
"Oh, Phaeton," cried Cygnus, "what have you said? It can't be true. You've complained to me so many times that you've never even met your real father. Go back and tell them you were joking."
"Leave me alone, Cygnus," said Phaeton, pushing him away. "I'm going to the Palace of the Sun. It's the only way to silence that pig Epaphus. By the time you see me again, everyone will respect me at last and know me for who I really am."
"But I know who you are," said the unhappy Cygnus. "You are Phaeton, and I love you."